Well, Peter, you've had the opportunity to keep an eye on Australia's progress thus far. How do you think they're poised with the pointy end of the tournament coming up shortly?
Better than expected, for two reasons. Firstly, I think their own team is being sorted out. Tate's bowled okay, Johnson's bowled well, Lee has been pretty good too. So the strategy of playing the pace bowlers, even on these pitches, has proved a strong point. Secondly, because the other teams also are betwixt and between. There's no one team or even two teams standing up and saying, we're the teams to beat. India are playing well, batting with enormous authority, but their bowling and fielding and running between the wickets leaves a bit to be desired. So both there's been some improvement in Australia. They are the number one ranked side in the world and the holders. And secondly, the other side's flaws have been found in them. So for me, they're in the pack of four or five likely winners.
The fast bowlers have been knocking the top off opposition batting lineups early, which is the best way to keep the run rate down. You just wonder whether this attacking aspect that Australia has may prove beneficial, where other teams perhaps are just trying to slow teams down rather than actually get wickets. South Africa is another attacking team with a well-mixed bowling lineup.
Yes, and I think the Australians deserve some credit for choosing that. I mean, that's been their strategy from the outset. And I think you can see the power play. If suddenly the field comes up, it's amazing how often, when there aren't easy singles around, wickets fall. And I think Australia has recognised that if it's got an edge on the other side, it is in that aggressive aspect of the pace bowling. And they're going for it. And I think that's wise. I think you've got to look where is your edge. And then I think you've got to go with that and go hard with that. So it's helping them. I think also South Africa, as you mentioned, so far, although Tahir's injured now, they have been aggressive. Will they keep it up? None of us knows. But I think the wicket-taking sides that try to take wickets through the first 40 overs are the sides that are going to go well.
There was a concern when Australia named its team that having Tate and Johnson in the same lineup, that they can both have bad days. So far, neither has in the opening matches they've played. Is that still a concern for you, or should it be?
Not so much with Johnson with the white ball. I mean, Johnson's strength is off stump and going away from the right-handers. In Test cricket, they can leave it alone all day. In this cricket, he can bowl that all day. And they've got to start doing something about it. So what was a weakness to some extent in the Test series has been a strength in this. The fact he's not swinging the ball back into the right-handers is irrelevant, basically. It doesn't matter. They've got to go after him. Tate, you have your heart on your chest whenever he comes on to bowl, but I think he's bowled better. His arm looks a bit higher to me. If you look at the last game, there was some away swing there, and that's crucial to him because you really can't afford the other team. He bowls two overs, number 20, and the game's hard to get back. But Ponting's got great faith in Tate, and I think so far there's been some reward for that, and the problem more perhaps lies in the middle order.
The replacement, Mike Hussey, coming in for Doug Bollinger, has Australia having played the same 11 thus far in the series, which means the four reserves, there is only one bowler, John Hastings. Is that a necessary punt, a good punt that the selectors have taken?
I think it's less a punt than it probably appears to be, because with the squads of 15, I mean, someone goes down and you can send for someone else on the next plane, plus the backups are all playing Shield cricket this very week. So it's not quite the punt, particularly on the bowling side, that it might seem to be. Having said that, it's an acknowledgement they picked the wrong squad in the first place. The squad was uneven. Hussey's absence. Hussey's clearly been missed. The two keepers there. It was the wrong squad in the first place, and I think at least the selectors have recognised that and brought in Hussey. Having said that as well, though, it's not automatic just to adjust to Indian-type pitches in the first few days that you're here. So if he doesn't start playing soon, I don't think he's going to play. So they've got a tricky decision there with that lower middle order.
Is Cameron White the man in most danger of missing out from the current middle order lineup?
I would say so. They seem to have a lot of faith in him, but David Hussey's been playing pretty well. He looks more free-scoring. Cameron's problem is that he's a slow starter and has to catch up later, which he has had the power to do. But we haven't seen much of that power this entire summer. It's not just in this series. It was also in the Australian matches, the 50-over matches and the 20-over matches. We didn't see that clean hitting of the ball that's associated with him. Therefore, you're left with someone who's a scratchy starter and then tends to get out. I think David Hussey looks like he's scoring off more balls. There's a vibrancy that comes into the game when he comes out to bat. So, yes, I think Cameron White is in the front line to be left out. That's not to say the Australians will automatically leave him out. And that's not to say the next two games against Canada and Kenya, what do you do? White might go in there and get 70 and 80. So they've almost got to make the decision now what they're going to do and use these next two games to position themselves.
And of course David Hussey has the bowling up his sleeve, which Cameron White of his own making now, even when he's captain of Victoria, doesn't bowl a lot. Just lastly, these two matches against Canada and Kenya, given that the last match was a washout and Australia didn't actually get to bat, how concerning is it if Canada and Kenya were to both win the toss and Australia were to find themselves batting second? I think the best score from these two teams thus far in the tournament is 140. Mm. Australia, at the moment, David Hussey's faced four balls in this tournament and Steve Smith has faced eight. Mm. It's not a great look, is it, to go then to a big game against Pakistan and then straight into sudden death quarterfinals? Mm.
Yeah, sometimes you're better off getting in trouble in the early matches. If you look at England, I mean, they have played four matches against four totally different teams and managed to make close matches in all of them. Mm. Australia, on the other hand, have had a pretty clear run. Maybe the Sri Lankan match is going to be a really tough match afterwards.
Pakistan,
because they're a good side and they may very well need to win that game. We don't know what the situation will be yet. But you do need hard matches going into the quarterfinals, because suddenly this thing is going to come alive and suddenly the favourites are going to be playing against teams that can really play and have nothing to lose. For example, West Indies, for example, New Zealand, who are a pretty good side. And you can lose those games and you want to be at your very best to win three knockout matches in a row. I think it'll be easier for teams like Australia and India to win the semi-final and final than it will be to win the quarter-final. I think the quarter-final's a real danger for the favourites, because I saw New Zealand, you saw New Zealand the other day, and they played very well. On their day, they're a very difficult side to beat. But I don't think Australia want to be... You can't create close matches. You have to deal with the hand you played. And if they keep playing well, it's not as if it's the start of the season. They have played some cricket. They've been in those situations before. I like the temperaments of both Hussey and Smith. And so maybe it's not exactly a crisis. They keep winning every game well.
Peter, thanks for giving us your thoughts. We look forward to you joining us in commentary tomorrow.
Thanks, Lynn.